Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi. Welcome to the Star Companion. Hey, David, so what do you have to do tonight?
I gotta do...
You said I'd start the episode and I'd find out. I've started the episode. Let's go. Put him on the spot. That's what we do here at the Star Companion. And if you like this kind of shit, you can send us a dollar at the Star at patreon.com/thestarcompanion.
So everybody knows my name now. What's yours?
I'm Zach.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm
good,
David.
Good cover. You think that's trying to cover up what you said you were doing later, but you wouldn't tell me?
Look,
I'm trying to take a radio take here.
Yeah.
Wait, doing this, I buy into something early.
You're doing this Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
I'm going to get really mad about something that I kind of had an opinion on.
I don't
on
know
this morning.
About beforehand. Anyway.
Anyways.
So, we had a recap. What did you call it?
A house cleaning channel update.
Channel update. He did this channel update. And then, yeah, we had that episode.
The table.
Beforehand.
Yeah.
David's busy tonight, otherwise we might have watched something together. But that's okay. He said he'd tell me in this episode what it was. And
I'm fucking your mom.
You gonna go to Palm Desert? That's crazy. Here at the Star Companion, we review Star Trek episodes Stardate by Stardate.
I just reveal it to you and you just shit all over me.
Yes,
we do.
And we're going to do Orville on the Patreon. Because
that's been decided.
Yeah, it has been decided. There's been a long gap between that last episode and this one. And for those of you that think there wasn't because you're watching the video, I'd like to thank that intern in the future. That person that we're paying $100 to $200 one time to do this for us.
Or possibly no money.
Or no money. And if you're interested in doing that,
yeah,
send us an email at thestarcompanion@gmail.com.
See, you could conceivably take Zach's $100. You could even take my $100. But what would really endear us to you is if you took no dollars and just did it all for us.
I don't care. I'm happy to give forth the $100. As you can see here, my co-host, David.
God, making me look like the bad guy.
It's funny because you're so not.
Yeah.
It's just easy to take sides when you're talking in a microphone.
It is.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
Today's episode is actually it's a two-parter.
Two-parter.
Oh God.
Oh God.
See what you did? You shook me up. My confidence is it's going down. We're reviewing season 1 episode 8 and episode 9 of
Peak. I think it's 9 and 10, dude.
Is it?
Whatever. The last two fucking episodes of Picard. That's what we're doing today.
Yes.
We're gonna just do them together because we thought it would be stupid to do one and then like pretend we didn't know what happened at the end of the other one.
So it is episode 9 and episode 10 of Picard. Yeah, and the name of this episode is Et in Arcadia Ego.
That's weird because we're recording in parts unknown.
Yes. That is weird.
And you may be able to figure that out.
So the name of this episode caught my attention. And I did a little digging, did a little research.
Mm.
You know what it's in reference to? Did you read up on it?
I do not.
Okay. So yeah. The title of this episode actually refers to a painting by the 17th century artist Nicolas Poussin. Poussin.
Really?
Yes. And
what's it look like?
Well, I'll tell you about it. In the painting, it depicts a pastoral scene, which is a highly idealized scene from Greek times, ancient Greek times. If you're an ancient Greek scholar, you know that the pastoral form, whether it be an elegy or a story, Poussin, P-O-U, that guy.
What's it called?
It's called the same name of the episode.
Oh, really?
Et in Arcadia Ego. And it depicts a pastoral scene. As I said, it's a highly idealized scene. And it has shepherds crowding around a tomb. And so I looked into basically a description or interpretation of this painting. And this? Basically, yeah, that one.
For those of that are on the video, that'll soon be up.
Yeah.
In the world, there you go.
So the name of the painting is translated to "Even in Arcadia, I am there." Mm. And the scholars think that Arcadia is referring to utopia, and the eye is referring to death. So basically the name of the painting and the name of this episode is "Even in Utopia, Death is There."
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that kind of foreshadows for what's going to happen in this episode. And whoever found that painting on the production staff and decided to call the episode this name, brilliant.
Did we see that scene at all? I'm not trying to rack my brain. Did we see that specific scene at all?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. Yeah, brilliant work for sure.
I think what they're trying to say is, you know, basically on this planet where all these scents are, it's utopia.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, and even
but
there,
death is coming.
There's death. Yeah. And even the scents want death. And even, you know, Picard, well, we'll get into it.
Well, actually, there's a painting that in the movie The Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
There's a specific scene in the movie The Lighthouse that resembles this particular painting. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell you what it is because I think it might ruin the movie.
Yeah.
But no, after really, really digging into this movie and finding that there's this scene that parallels to this painting,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh my God, this movie is fucking next level brilliant.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy the fact that there's modern television or movies that find some sort of grounding
or
inspiration from movies. I mean, from paintings.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, I'm a little taken aback.
Yeah.
I must say that if I were to be a betting man, and I am a betting man.
You are.
Been
known to slap down a few dollars at a poker table.
Patrick Stewart probably owns that painting.
Probably, yeah.
Imagine that's in his fucking seminary.
Yeah.
In his chateau in
England,
or not France.
Come across it in his classical studies.
No, totally, yeah. No, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's actually really cool, having looked at that painting. And you having you
just describe it.
Distill it for me, yeah.
Well, I guess the deeper interpretation is basically, you know, the pastoral scene, or the pastoral, I guess, mode of art being highly idealized. In the painting, you can see that these shepherds have discovered their shadow on the tomb, which basically suggests that these perfect beings,
they're sentient,
are sentient and know about their own mortality. And the way that humans understand their own mortality is through art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Nice. Good for you. Did you do that while we were watching it?
Yeah, I did.
While I was watching you Google?
Yeah, you were.
And I was like, did you Google the ending? And you were like, no, I didn't Google the ending. And I feel like a real jackass because I asked if you Googled the ending, but instead you're Googling something.
I'm doing
some real good research there, man.
Yeah, I'm doing art history. I'm doing interpretation.
That's excellent. That's fucking excellent. That's what we do here at the Star Companion. We don't just fucking try and tear down David and whatever it was that I was trying to tear him down for earlier this episode.
Doesn't even remember.
And if you like this episode, and in correlation to things that I don't remember, you can, in fact, listen to Voxala. It's a good episode. I don't remember what episode it is, but it's fun. Moving on.
The gang arrives, crash lands on a planet called Coppelius.
Wow.
And the La Serena comes through a Borg.
It was a transwarp conduit.
Transwarp conduit.
Which becomes a thing in Voyager.
Yeah.
So it's a total fucking nod to Voyager.
Followed shortly by Narek and his little Romulan ship, and then followed shortly thereafter by the Borg cube. They're on the move.
The Borg are here. Blech. Spoiler alert. Transwarp conduits. That's how you get from the fucking
Delta Quadrant.
Delta Quadrant to the Alpha Quadrant, baby.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
As they crash land on the planet. Picard reveals that he has a disorder.
And he's got some sort of degenerative disease.
It's called Borg brainitis.
Wow.
And
that seems pretty accurate.
Yeah. They set off and they run into the Borg cube, and aboard the Borg cube is 7 and 9. She says, "Oh, hey, what's up, fellas? Welcome back to the cube. Let me just clear off these dead bodies here with a few kicks." You remember that?
Yeah.
She's kicking off the Romulan bodies. Hey, I didn't think you guys would show up. What's going on?
That. Yeah. Hey, badass over here.
Yeah. And that's not me shitting on 7 and 9, by the way, Alexis. That's,
I feel like that's just... you shitting on 7 and 9.
There we go again.
No, 7 and 9, Alexis, is badass. So badass, in fact, that I read that fucking book, and I will be reviewing it on the internet.
I think you should dedicate that episode to Alexis.
That's a good idea. So we should do a Hey David, and I'll tell you about it, and you can ask me questions.
Good.
Yeah. At one point, someone becomes a cat.
Really?
Amongst other things.
Were you reading that, or were you reading Harry Potter?
Huh? I know. Weird, huh?
Her name was McGonagall.
McGonagall!
Shortly thereafter, they take off from the Borg cube, and they arrive in the land of twin robots.
Yeah, a lot of twin robots in this place.
Twin robots?
A lot of yellow eyes and a lot of robots.
Is her name Soji? Soji?
Our robot is Soji.
Soji. Soji runs into another Soji and she says, "Oh, your name is Jim. Your name is Jim. You are my friend." And she recognizes her automatically.
Yeah, and then a little bit later, there's some sort of reference to sacrificing the one for the many.
Mm-hmm. There is.
And then there's another reference to fascinating.
Fascinating. This twin of Soji is actually the gold Crayola crayon version of Soji. Did you notice that?
When we were watching, I was like, Jesus Christ, she got gold glitter all over her face. Good Lord.
And she then proceeds to mind meld with Dr. Jurati.
Yo, that shit is rape. There was a lot of non-consensual fucking mind rape in this show.
I'm totally digging this angle, by the way.
I'm so not okay with this. Yeah. Like, I understand mind melds, but I think mind melds should be consensual. And furthermore,
yeah.
I don't think they should go on to synthetic. Like, this should be a Vulcan only thing.
It should be.
You can have your own Romulan way. You know,
yeah.
Which is a little more aggressive and maybe a little more Chinese. You know?
A bit more communist.
You know that, right? You know the Klingons were Russians and mm-hmm. the Romulan were Chinese?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
So that's my, like, baseline.
That's why they all got bowl cuts. They all scream.
Yeah. No, so that's my baseline. But, like, I am just not okay in 2020 with just, like, hey, how are you doing? My name is this. I'm going to fucking mind meld your ass right now. And that's extreme. It's hella rapey.
And you brought this up a few episodes ago, and I reminded you, remember that episode where T'Pol in Enterprise discovers that?
No, yeah. It's so rapey.
It is.
It is non-consensual. It is not okay.
If we're talking about canon.
Canon. You remember Don Cannon?
The Cannon, yeah.
God.
If we're talking about canon, the first, the mixtape God, he was on every mixtape. The first time we ever see Vulcan mind meld, or whatever this is mind meld, right?
Mind meld, yeah.
Yeah. It's in a rape type fashion. No, yeah, totally. And T'Pol gets a venereal disease from it too, remember?
Yeah, which comes up later in the series, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
Okay. Right. Well, I don't want to date this thing, no, but we are in the middle of Enterprise.
True. Hold on.
Yeah, go for it.
I will just say that, like, I understand the use of, for example, in this episode, sharing the admonition.
Yeah.
But there needs to be some, you know, and I don't want to go Dave Chappelle like sex contract.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
For many years, actually, when I was dating people,
mm-hmm.
I would, if it was getting to that point, mm-hmm. I would ask the girl, like, hey, I don't have any condoms and I want to have protected sex, so let's go to the 7-Eleven or the liquor store.
Yeah.
And then it would keep the receipt of that time with buying the condoms.
And you'd make sure you had, like, a memorable conversation with the clerk.
Just absolutely about it so that there's proof.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I am all about it being above board.
Yep.
And so because of that, I'm really taken aback with the sheer fucking mind rapes that go on in this.
Yeah.
In this Star Trek universe. I love Star Trek, but good Lord, in 2020... some of these people be acting like Harvey Weinstein up in here.
Yeah.
You know, you want a fucking career, I need to see what's in that brain.
And there is something very sensual, very...
it's so personal!
Yeah.
It is!
But there is something very sensual and very titillating about constantly asking if this is okay through the whole experience. You know what I mean?
Let's consider for
Call
a
me
moment
new school.
That Girardi got mind raped by Commodore O and then mind raped by the fucking Soji clone. Gold clone.
Gold crayon, yeah.
Yeah. You know, gold and it's Crayola, like, this poor Ash. Fucking lady has been mentally raped.
Up and down.
By more than one person. And thankfully, at the end of this two-parter, kisses our boy Rios.
Yeah.
You know. Who will smoke a cigar even if it was in her you-know-what. You know, like our boy Bill Clinton.
Nice. Nice ref.
Thanks. I've seen some stuff.
Yeah.
During the quarantine.
Continue.
This is happening in the quarantine. I paid for ESPN Plus, so I got all the 30 for 30s.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, so if you want the login, I'll let you know. I've been meaning to tell you. I don't know why I keep forgetting to. This is with everybody in my life. I just forget to tell people shit.
Yeah.
But I have all the 30 for 30s. And, they're excellent.
Oh, they're great.
They're absolutely excellent.
They are.
And if you have a whole day of 30 for 30s, you know,
a day well spent.
Yeah. No, totally. A day well spent mind raping aliens.
Yeah, you know, to go back to that episode with where T'Pol first gets introduced to it, those are really, for me, it was an uncomfortable episode.
I remember you were like, this was a really uncomfortable, but.
Yeah. I know I make a lot of really dark and dirty jokes, but it's because...
You?
It's because I'm afraid.
Of what?
Everything. My shadow. Nah, it's just... you're right. I'm totally going with this. There is a creepy element to it. And
it's just not cool. It's not cool to put your fingers on someone's face and be like, experience this, bitch.
On top of that, this experience was not very good either. A booming voice comes out of nowhere and says, an alliance of synthetic life is
waiting. Sins are gonna kill you.
Is waiting beyond the galaxy. And a hype man in the background goes, synthetic life. Did you hear that part?
I did.
Yeah.
No, totally.
Reminded me of us.
Of us.
Shortly thereafter, They get
meanwhile,
they get introduced to Dr. Soong.
He looks just like Data. Is that just me?
It is really weird.
Is that just me, or does that look like Data?
I've only seen a few episodes of TNG, so I don't know.
Only a few?
Yeah, I don't know if that's him.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's this one episode where there's this guy who looks like Data, and then he also looks like Data, and then Data also looks like this other guy. Wow. And so it looks like there's three people being played by a guy who looks like Data.
Yeah.
And we find out that, like, one of them's, like, his brother, Lore?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that all Data?
Has that ever happened to you?
Is that kind of the same thing here, where we got another guy who's, like, related to the guys who look like Data?
Well, then
And his name is Soong, which is the father of Data?
Yeah.
And it totally looks like Brent Spiner. Am I going crazy, or is that really the actor who played Data?
Well, and then I was watching that movie, Armageddon Day. Or no, what's it called?
Is it Armageddon? Bruce Willis?
No, it's what's the one where Will Smith punches the alien and says, welcome
Independence
to Earth?
Day.
Independence Day. Yeah, there's a doctor in that movie that looks just like Data.
Oh my God, and is that Data?
And then he gets choked in a...
Brent Spiner is in that movie.
In a downstairs laboratory, and as he's getting pushed up against the glass, he says, I want you to die.
Oh my
Remember
God.
That?
Wow. That's a reference.
Yeah.
It's
a great movie.
So anyway, long story short, it is all Brent Spiner playing,
it is.
And different versions of Soong or Data.
He proceeds to tell Jurati something very odd. He says, I do bodies. It's weird flex, but okay. meanwhile, back on the terrace, it's some sort of compound, some sort of synth compound. We find out that these synths they're just way more saucy than your parents' synths.
They're
definitely
saucy, yeah.
Yeah.
They're goldier.
They're goldier.
Yellow-eyer. I don't know how to say they were more yellow-eyed, and that's what I had.
Yellow-eyer.
that's all I had. I'll still drive you home later.
Okay. they give Rafi a wand that is powered by dreams and
it's
imagination.
It's a little magic wand. Just use the magic wand. It might fix your ship.
And she says, here, use this imagination stick to fix your ship. And so her and Rios fuck off back to the ship. Picard, Soji, and Androdi stay on the compound.
Quick cut in.
Go for it.
My favorite portion of Imagination Land, those like two or three episodes of South Park,
mm-hmm.
were the cavity creeps. We make holes in teeth. We make holes in teeth. And the only thing that can beat him is a crest.
That's right. That's right.
That's it. And so when you see imagination, that's what I think of.
What a...
You're welcome, dude.
What a reference.
That's why people come to the Star Companion.
I was thinking of SpongeBob, where he goes,
imagination. Oh, really? You know, the whole time, because you said that when we were watching it, I thought you were referencing South Park.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's why people come here, right?
Yeah, for arcane references.
For dead references from things that you had to be there for.
Suddenly, not all is well in the terrace. They find that Narek is actually, they've caught Narek, and Narek's in this little zoo because he's different.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He's in this little... so early in this fucking episode. I'm just going to let you talk.
Yeah. Well, we're actually almost done with the first episode.
I know, but...
there's a lot of filler in the first.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So they what was I going to say? So they have Narek in a holding cell, in a viewing cell, because he's different, and they all pointed at him.
Different!
And he says to one of the synths, and he says, hey, can you get my water, or as I like to call it, daddy's medicine? And
says that.
While you're over there, throw me my Rubik's Cube. I'm bored. And then Soji shows up and says, you're going to die.
No Rubik's Cubes in these episodes.
No.
Upsetting.
Soji gets taken away, and then the gold version of Soji shows up and I guess lets Narek out of prison for a unknown reason as of yet.
Yeah, gold Soji, different Soji from our Soji.
Cold Soji, bad. Malaysian Prime Minister, bad. Look at my dog. They shortly thereafter, Brent Spiner or Dr. Soong Jr. and Gold Asha tell Jean-Luc Picard that he's under arrest and they're actually going to fire up a beacon and bring back the Prometheans or whatever they're called in this iteration of sci-fi. And they say they're going to have to, we're going to have to put you under house arrest. And Jean-Luc,
it's happening.
And Jean-Luc Picard goes, what?
What?
I was just trying to warn you of the Romulan attack. What? I was trying to call the Federation to help. We're going to fire up that beacon. What?
Why?
Shortly thereafter.
Meanwhile.
Gold Asha points to Jean-Luc Picard and says, you're a rebel spy and part of the Alliance. Take him away! And Jean-Luc Picard gets put in a rather nice loft apartment. And
it's Bruce Maddox's apartment.
It is Bruce Maddox's apartment. Jurati says she's going to stay and help out. And that's the end of that episode.
Boom.
Boom. Baby. So, oh my God, what's going to happen? We're going to tell you right now.
Right into it. We're not right doing a double episode. We're not going to cock tease you like CBS. We're going right into it.
We're going right at this one. Like one of them filthy skags.
You know, the thing about the skags, man, that I don't like.
In this the beginning of this episode, Picard gets...
Before you get there, yeah. I'm sorry, before you get there...
Go for it.
I would just want to say, I'd like 3 to 5 times a week,
mm-hmm.
I get on a streaming service and I think, should I watch Bacula's NCIS? Should I do it?
You might want
to. I don't know. I really, really don't know, man. But I think about it a lot.
Quantum Leap?
I mean, if I want to see Mac the Fool, Quantum Leap is definitely it.
But, I love him.
No, I love him too.
I love Scott Bakula.
And I'm like, I would watch that procedural. Why not? Mm-hmm. Who cares? I've got plenty of time to watch shows.
I wonder if his acting chops have gotten any better. I don't think.
No, yes.
I don't think they have.
I highly doubt that they have at all. And I do wonder it. And I think, you know, but like, I think the reason why he has jobs and the reason why he keeps getting gigs is because, very truly, as we have seen in Enterprise, he's just a good guy.
He is.
Like, you know, I mean, through and through, he's like a good dude. So
he's dad.
You feel like, I gotta give dad a job.
Yeah.
It's no problem.
It's either that or dad's just gonna be drinking all day and mowing his lawn. Dad needs a job. Cleaning his white crispy boys.
Maybe I'll watch that shit on my own, dude, and I'll put it on the Patreon. I'm really trying to expand this Patreon in any way I think I can.
Zach consumes media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm more of a slow burn.
I've watched Juan Pablo's and Andy's season of Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Hey, do you do a podcast on The Bachelor?
I do, and I would consider doing a Patreon version for the Star Companion. If you guys like the fucking Bachelor or Bachelorette, I'll add these episodes to the Patreon. I've just been fucking watching this shit. You know, Wade and I are we have one called "I Love That," a Bachelor podcast, and it's modern Bachelor, but I've been watching prior seasons.
Yeah,
and I will happily review those if you guys are interested in that on the Patreon.
Cool.
Andy's season was great.
Nice.
Didn't you think it was?
So Picard, at the beginning of this episode, gets visited by a butterfly spy while he's tugging his pud.
It was Data.
He has to pull up his pants real quick, and he says, oh, get the fuck out of here.
You know, butterflies go straight for the ass.
They do, yeah. And Soji comes in.
She's like, is that butterfly going straight for your ass?
I heard a noise. Are you okay? This butterfly's going right for my ass.
Oh my god.
Soji comes in and says, Picard, you just don't get it, okay?
Butterflies go for your ass.
You don't get it. We're going to destroy the Romulans. They're fucking assholes, okay? us androids have been anti-synthism against us, and I'm not having it, okay? And it's like, bitch, you just found out you were an android like yesterday. Come on.
Wow, I really feel like Soju was right here with that fucking rendition. Wow.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back on board the La Serena.
Okay.
Rios, you mean, or Rafi.
You mean, as Girardi says it, La Serena.
La Serena.
Yeah.
At this point, Rios, or maybe Rafi, who cares, point their magical spanner at the at a drawer. You remember that?
They pull out a little drawer. They had a magic wand.
It fixes the entire ship.
Let me fucking droid this shit together. No problem.
Meanwhile, outside the La Serena. La Serena.
La Serena?
La Serena. Narek has appeared with about 20, 30 grenades in his backpack.
You mean our shitty Romulan boyfriend?
Yeah, and he's like, hey, let me in the ship. And they're like, you're a bad guy. And he's like, no, I'm not.
I'm cool now.
And they let him in. Elnor shows up, and all of a sudden they end up at a campfire making s'mores and stuff.
Yeah, the campfire was random.
And Rios and Rafi and Elnor say, tell us a tale from your side of the galaxy, friend. And
boo-doo-doo.
Well,
bam, bam, bam.
It all started with them skags. And Narek says,
holy shit, those skags are fucking...
We've got a doomsday.
They go across the trees.
Yeah, we got a doomsday, and it's called Gamondan. It's an Armagondan. It's a Ragnarondan.
Question, is the Armagondan...
It's a 2012 Mayan Kalamondan.
2012, yeah. So Manondan. So it's like... It's like the admonition?
Yeah.
So that's my question.
It's doomsday.
Why
whoa.
Why call it Armageddon if it's the admonition? The admonition is merely the practice of figuring out the Armageddon? You kidding me? Why are you adding words, Picard? Why?
It's similar to the word prophecy.
It's bullshit.
It's an admonition.
We didn't need it. We really didn't need it.
You prophesize the Armageddon. You admonition the Armageddon.
Do you even know what it is?
And then they fill a soccer ball full of grenades. And
that's right. They put a drone in the soccer ball, and they go. The synth goes, "Do you play?" And he goes, well, yes, of course I play soccer.
And he kicks
it. I am ethnic in terms of Americans. At which point...
he kicks it, and it blows up, and it kills, like, 10 people.
100,000.
They also, at this point, Dr. Soong Jr. discovers that...
Brent Spinner.
That the... synth killed by Narek in the previous episode was actually helped by Gold Asha.
Saga.
And it's convenient because he has a recording from her eyes, mm-hmm. and you can see Narek grab her face, and then all of a sudden Gold Asha gets her face in there like, hey, just so you know, it was me.
Just so you're clear.
And jabs her in the eye with some glass, and apparently that kills a synth.
Hell yeah!
They, back on board the Borg.
Meanwhile.
Meanwhile, back on board the Borg cube. 7 of 9's trying to get stuff started up again, and she runs into Narek's sister. And she says.
And I think her official name is literally Narek's sister.
It is. They. 7 of 9 says, drop your weapons.
And so they can do a hand to hand fucking battle, bro.
So she throws off her weapon, and she says, now take off your clothes slowly. What does your daddy. And. Who is your daddy and what does he do? I was walking, so. She then Sparta kicks her into the abyss of the Borg cube. And all of a sudden, the Romulan fleet shows up.
Shit.
Shit's going down.
No.
Soji's rushing to get the beacon constructed. Picard's like, don't do it. Don't
do it. It's literally digital build-a-blocks.
It is, yeah. Picard's like, don't do it, don't do it. And she's like, fuck you, old man. I'm going to start this beacon up. And so,
how old are you? Like 94?
So Picard gets in La Serena with Dr. Girardi, and they fly on out. And they confront the Romulan fleet, and they say, ignore him. He's a puny human.
Do not do that.
Start the attack. And so they launch these giant orchids that get destroyed.
Hot.
And just when everything seems to be lost, guess who? Guess who shows up?
Tomatoes. Mr. Tomatoes.
Mr. Tomatoes.
What do they call him?
They call him Two Takes Frakes.
They call him the boy Bill Riker.
You ever go on a wandering under a big blue sky?
Sometimes, yeah. Keep going.
Not this time.
Oh, no. Have you ever...
You ever been to a major shopping area in
America? How can I watch that show, by the way? I've been looking for it, and I can't see it on any fucking streaming service.
You know what makes that video so funny? Is the bed music underneath him?
Totally. For those of you who don't know, Will Riker, a.k.a. Two Takes Frakes, did a really shitty Forensic Files type show about, like, have you ever...
It was all about getting the audience. Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, it was always a gotcha. And it was filmed in some weird studio.
I think it was called, like, Ripley's Believe It or Not.
No, it wasn't Ripley's. Was it really?
Yeah, I think it was Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Oh, good Lord. If you know, send us an email, thestarcompanion@gmail.com.
No, I think that's what it is.
And if you don't know, David believes it's what it is, so I'm gonna buy that for the current moment. If you think otherwise, I have no idea what it's called. He's looking it up. Is it really Ripley's?
Yeah.
Anyway, if you know how I can watch that show... let me know.
Yeah.
Because I would watch the shit out of that. It's ridiculous. So anyway, the motherfucking Federation shows up and Will Riker's there.
He's got 40 nations ready to roll, son.
Son?
He's ready to roll.
He is ready it's to hot. Roll. He it's reinstated now. Himself in the motherfucking Federation National Galactic Guard.
And he brought some tomatoes from home for victory lunch.
You think he just likes making pizzas at home? No way, Picard. He's about saving your sweet little ass. I'm only sorry that Worf didn't show up.
He'll be your Huckleberry.
Where's Worf? Where is he? I'm serious. I'm fucking serious right now. You and I both know Michael Dorn would have jumped at this shit.
I know you're serious because you got the microphone up and you're yelling.
No, I'm picking. Where's Geordi? Where's Worf?
You sound like a wrestler right now. I'm serious. Where is he?
I'm pissed. I'm just not okay that they didn't fan service this shit the whole fucking way. It's fucking bullshit.
There's more seasons. Allegedly, we'll see.
No, well, apparently they're for sure signed on to the next season. Where's Worf? My neighbors are like, Jesus fucking Christ. So someone take Reading Rainbow, and then I go, no, you're racist. Not all black people look alike. Geordi LaForge is his own man. LeVar Burton and Worf is different.
Where are they? Yeah, that's a good point.
Where's Worf?
We'll see. Let's
hold on. Hold on. I'm sorry. I know you're trying to get maybe, done and get go, but let me just say
maybe
that
Worf shows up in this episode.
Look, Worf was with know. Troy, right?
What?
At the end of the seventh season, he was.
Really?
Yeah, there was a total love thing between Worf and Troy. But then Worf gets shipped off to Deep Space Nine and he marries Jadzia.
Yeah. God bless you.
So is this because he fucking married a Trill? Is this Trill racism? In fucking modern day Picard?
Sometimes you just gotta keep a Trill.
No! Ezri did suck! Jadzia didn't! Where's Worf? Where's Worf? You tell me right now. Where's Worf?
We're getting into a show that I have not seen yet.
I can't wait.
And that I know that you love.
I cannot wait till you get there.
So the
Ezri was garbage. Troy, if you feel me, send me an email.
Yeah.
Anyone else too, but... I feel like Troy's seen it. Ezri was trash. Fine character, but they shouldn't have done that.
Who's Ezri? Never mind. So the Romulans at this point say, fix your guns on the Starfleet. And at this point, it looks like we got ourselves a bilingual blood fest. Meanwhile, back on board the La Serena.
La Serena?
Picard starts having an old man. He starts falling down and breaking his hip. Uh-oh. And Girardi's like, what's wrong? He's like, get daddy's medicine and get Soji on the house phone.
Uh-oh.
Get it? Because he's old?
No, I get it, dude.
Fucking Frakes.
Two takes,
Frakes says, Romulans, you better stand down. I ain't going to have it here.
I'm Frakes.
I was happy at home, but now I'm mad as hell.
You like pizzas? I didn't bring none because I don't like you.
I brought some and it's in the fridge. That's my victory dinner because my wife thinks I need to lose some weight.
Well, and also if Picard manages to live through this, I got a great margarita pizza for him. It's mozzarella, basil, and tomatoes.
The Romulans say, okay, we're standing down.
Standing down, and Frakes.
Then, and then they leave.
And oh my god.
Oh my god. Picard starts dying.
Holy shit.
This is it for Picard, folks.
Is it?
It is.
No.
He's dying.
You telling me Star Trek Picard that was signed on for 3 seasons is going to kill Picard?
It's looking like it's going to be the way of the rise of the Skywalker.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. It looks like Soji is going to be like at the end of the episode.
No.
He's going to say, my name is Soji Picard.
Oh, God. I ain't watching that.
Yeah, me neither. I don't like strong female characters.
Clearly.
Yeah. So what happens, Zach, is...
I don't understand Michael Burnham.
She's got a short haircut like a guy. So Soji calls in and says, hey, dad, hey, new dad, how's it going?
Hey, new dad.
And he says, honey, the house phone's not too good, but I'm dying.
I am definitely dying, new daughter.
And so they send him down and Soji says, oh, what's going on? Are you okay? And he says, no. And
new dad is dying.
New dad. Dies.
What does he say?
He says, good night, sweet prince. That's what I say.
Sweet princess.
And Picard goes off into that great unknown.
And meets Data. I'm pissed that they ended Data.
Yes, me too.
They should have brought him back.
Data explains that Picard is indeed dead, and he's in the realm of the non-living, which... I guess you can meet a computer program there. So, you know, like when I die, the Mozilla Firefox that I deleted off fucking laptop last week is going to be there like, hey, David, I was open source. Yeah. Why'd you delete me?
Are you looking for Pornhub?
Remember all those fun times on X videos we had? Because it's open source. Remember?
No, so if I may.
Go for it.
I think because they downloaded Picard's consciousness into some bullshit, they downloaded into the same bullshit that Data's was in. So it's not like it's really death. It's the same computer, like, housing program.
They just overrode his files.
No, I mean, do you know what I mean? So they had Data plugged into that one thing, and
they had a PDF called Data, and then they dragged another PDF called Data into it, and it said, do you want to replace this file? And they said,
yes.
Yes.
Sure. No, I understand. But what I think is if we're buying into this, there's some sort of fucking cloud digital mechanism there where they downloaded Data's consciousness.
Yeah.
And then they proceeded to download Picard's consciousness into it as well. So they were able to meet digitally.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay. So he did...
Because Data had said... They've put your brain somewhere. Like, you are dead, but your brain is somewhere.
That makes sense. Okay.
And because it's the same place, that's why.
Okay. See, yeah. I thought Picard was dead and was in the realm of the...
It's not like real dead. No.
Yeah.
I think it's because they had him and they downloaded his
I see
ass.
You.
Yeah.
So they met...
They put a Picard Adobe.
Yeah.
Literally directly next to a Data Adobe file.
Yes.
And they were talking, and then when Data sensed that the end was coming as the cursor was coursing over, he said, goodbye, you gotta live, and then they dropped the Picard Adobe file named Data over the Data file named Data.
They met in the My Documents folder?
Yes.
And Data says, hey, Dad, when you go back, make sure you delete my memory. And
kill me.
And Picard says, okay.
Please kill me.
Do it.
Do it.
And so Dad goes, or new dad gets reborn again, and they put him back in the old shitty Picard body. And they say, we haven't made any adjustments, but your penis is much larger now.
No augments, but your cock is huge.
And we
for an old man.
We've programmed, you're 94, but we've programmed a few more years in you, so pretty much a waste of a golem, if you ask me. But they dad, or Picard, well, I don't know why I keep calling him dad. Picard.
Captains to you or dads. It's okay.
Yeah.
Same for me.
Yeah.
I take any of them. My dad died when I was young.
Picard goes over.
Except for Kirk. I really don't want Kirk as my dad because he ends up writing really shitty books. And that's a blemish on his career.
Yeah, he's a...
He also killed his wife.
He's an...
Look, I know we're going to get to it when we get to TOS, but that 911 call is so fucking suspect, if you agree.
We should live review it.
Send us an email at thestarcompanion@gmail.com.
Picard goes over to the computer tower where they've plugged in Data's memory cores, and it's just an old shitty Seagate flash drive. A little thumb drive, and Picard takes it out.
This is a bit much.
You know how your computer tells you need to eject first.
Properly.
Picard doesn't do that. He just rips it out. And they all get back on the La Serena, and they
have a multi-racial, diverse fucking.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I guess 7 of 9 is a lesbianist and
bridge crew,
and. Soji's now free to move about the galaxy.
Synth band's gone. Since
things move fast in the galaxy.
How many people do you think Riker had to fuck to get that synth band done with? Because let's be honest.
Few.
You and I both know that's how that got fixed.
Yeah, Troy's...
What can I do to fuck you? I need to get this through for my boy Picard. You know, Dad.
he gets back home at night.
He's got the clap.
And, the door to the master bedroom's locked.
She knows. Only for Dad, you know, only for John Luke. Only for JL is this okay, but
JL.
You can't share my bed.
So that's the end of that episode, and to bring it all back to what we originally started with. Again, it looks like all is not right in Utopia. It looks like now Utopia has been born, but what next is going to come.
Do you want to know what's next?
What's that? Michael Burnham with the flag?
No. Here's what's next, dude. I don't want to alarm you.
Okay.
But there's a threat against the planet Earth. All right? There's a race of people that want to destroy Earth with a weapon. Okay?
Is it bat soup?
No, it's
okay.
Nice. For those of you that don't know, some people speculate the coronavirus was started by bat soup, but it's not that.
Bat soup.
It's like a.
Go ahead.
It's like a marble, you know, but like the size of like a mini moon, and it's ready to destroy Earth. That's the kind of threat that's going on. They got to destroy Earth first.
I hope they start with Florida.
Because,
honestly,
let's
get rid of that fucking.
Let
state.
Me tell you right now.
Yeah,
they do. They start with Florida.
How did I call that?
Yeah. That's what's next, dude. We got to stop. Stop! This problem. Okay? The Zindi are trying to destroy Earth. It's not okay. And you know what? After we most likely stop them, what about those dirty Taliban, but Suleiman. That dirty Suleiman temporal cold war, you know what I mean? We gotta stop that too.
Cold war.
Furthermore, yep. Right now we're just Andorians. We're just Tellarites. We're just Vulcans. We're just humans. You know what we need?
What's that?
We need a federation of planets.
Yeah, we're all floating around out there.
Okay.
Just kind of willy nilly.
Yeah, after we stop this sure to destroy Earth plot. We need a federation of planets that come to each other's aid, and then we can go right into fucking fist fighting the Gorn.
Dope.
That's what's next.
Sick.
Glad Picard's over. We can, I bet you before, well, no, for sure, actually. We can finish Enterprise and get right into TOS.
Thanks for sticking with us through this episode.
Thanks for riding. This might be our longest episode ever.
Yeah. So you guys got overtime today. Keep listening, everybody, and you can email us at thestarcompanion@gmail.com.
You can
send us a buck or two over at patreon.com/thestarcompanion. We have stickers. Yeah, attention, stickers, round stickers. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
If you want them, let us know. Other than that, you take care of yourself.
Great ride. Take care of yourself.
Yeehaw.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.